Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means.
This means war.
This means.
This means war.
This means.
This means war.
Put them together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. On tonight, you're now once again tuned into Are You, it's personal, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am so excited to be back with you all once again on tonight. We have with us as my regular, I thank God for her. She is now one of our regulars. Our poet, Robin Robinson, is my guest on tonight. She will be with us at least once a month for now, unless the Lord say different. In the future, we may have her on a little bit more, but for now, she's on once a month. So she is an awesome poet. You all will be blessed by her on tonight. So I'm looking forward to what she's going to say to us in the form of poetry on tonight. So I want you all to know that we get ready to go into prayer. I'm asking all listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer for those that are sick and afflicted, whether we know them or not, those that are grieving on tonight because of the loss of a loved one, whether we know them or not, we serve an awesome God who is everywhere at the same time, so we don't have to send him anywhere. He's already there. So we want to lift up our sisters and brothers in Christ that are sick and afflicted, and also those that are grieving on tonight as we go to God in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it is in the name of Jesus. We, your children, are coming together once again on tonight on one accord, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are worthy of our praise, and we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We also thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. For this we are grateful in the name of Jesus. We come, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my guests on tonight, Robin Robinson and her entire family, and every saved believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, that he paid our sin debt with his own sinless blood on the cross, that we could be redeemed and we be reconnected back to you. What an awesome price he paid for mankind to be redeemed back to you as our Heavenly Father. So we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice and the shedding of his blood on the cross for us in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit over the airways on tonight, that everything is done that is done on tonight will be giving you glory, honor, and praise. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit on tonight, even to the point that should there be any listeners that's not saved in the name of Jesus, they would hear what's being said on tonight. They will open their hearts and their mouths and their minds, and they will ask in the name of Jesus, what must they do to be saved even on tonight? And that they will be saved in Jesus' name, and they will come to know and fulfill their God purpose in the earth is our prayer in Jesus' name. So continue to bless every listener that faithfully dials in, those that are listening in through social media platforms around the world, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. Thank you for opening that door throughout the United States that prisoners can now hear this worldwide platform. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as usual, we do have another spiritual food for thought. It comes to a thing on tonight. For all of us that are saved in Jesus' name, my sisters and brothers in Christ, this is the spiritual food for thought for tonight. We can be grateful that God's grace is sufficient. I am so grateful to know that his grace is sufficient, and he is a promise keeper. He is still watching over his words, performing in the lives of his people that are being faithful doers of his word and not just hearers only. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. I do welcome all comments and feedback from the listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com. And oh yes, by the way, I want you all to know that I do get feedback from some of those that are incarcerated behind prison bars across America. I do get feedback from some of them, so they are grateful to be able to receive God's word through this worldwide platform. So we've given God the glory, honor, and praise. It is marvelous in our eyes what God is doing through this worldwide ministry for his glory. So that being said, we're going to get ready to go to my guest on tonight. And following at the close of her second story, she's going to share with us two stories. She's getting ready to share with us her first story on tonight. And then I'm going to deliver a short word. We normally have a guest minister comes on in between delivering God's word. But I will be sharing a word from the Lord with you all on tonight. So I pray and hope that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. And we're going to be talking regarding my subject on tonight is going to be titled, Don't Skip the Process. And this book is titled after my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown, wrote this book, my youngest brother. Don't Skip the Process. And I will be going through some of the chapters of this book, explaining what this means to you all. After our guest on tonight, Sister Robin Robinson, after she shared her first story with us, then I'm going to go into this book, The Process. Don't Skip the Process. And it's dealing with the Word of God, so you still need your Bibles or pens and paper to follow along. And following that message, she's going to come and share story number two with us. And after that, we will open up the phone for anyone to dial in. If you have a question for her or myself, if you want to give her a word of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so after we have concluded with tonight's messages and stories from our guest on tonight, author, poet, Robin Robinson. Sister Robin Robinson, I just want to say thank you so much. We did not have you on the line last month because I think I was at an event or something happened that we were that last time you were scheduled to be my guest. But thank God you are here tonight. So I'm asking you, if you don't mind, if you would go ahead, I know you have two different stories you're going to share with me and the listening audience. Could you go ahead and share with us your full story, please?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. As you said, my name is Robin Robertson, and I am so happy to be with you all again. I was unable to be with you last month, so it is truly a privilege, and an honor to be back with you all today. I write poetry, but I also write stories as well. And so I've named the stories that I write Storytry because I'm a poet at heart, but I'm also a story writer. So the first story that I'm going to share with you has a kind of unique name. So you all follow along with me. It's a little different. It's entitled Jambalaya and a Recipe for Disaster. In his senior year, my son Jordan was enrolled in a poetry class. One commonality that Jordan and I share is our love of words. Nothing gives me more pleasure than a great literary work. Sometimes, however, I suffer from writer's block and the words don't seem to quite come together. Jordan told me about a drill that his instructor gave his class daily. She would choose a random subject and give them 10 minutes at the beginning of class to write about it that the instructor gave him with me. Surely that would help me get my creative juices flowing. So one day, I received a text from Jordan, which read, "It's poetry time. Write a recipe for a disaster." Immediately, several ideas came to mind. I texted him back and said, "I'm on it." I thought about how many doors that subject opened and just what angle I would use to write a recipe for a disaster. Oddly enough, the first thing that came to my mind was the recipe for jambalaya, a combination of ingredients that come together to form a perfectly blended mix that is much like a stew or a busy soup. Each ingredient's flavor is an integral part of the success of the recipe. Every ingredient is distinctive, providing an individual flavor that, when combined with others, adds to the perfection of the pot. The omission of any ingredient, be it bacon, celery, onions, sausage, or shrimp, or the seasoning, renders the recipe incomplete, and true jambalaya lovers would consider discarding the whole pot. What is interesting about jambalaya is that every ingredient is a portion that makes up a whole. And while there are several different ingredients that can be prepared and enjoyed independently, jambalaya calls for all to come together. So while all the parts are important, no ingredient is more important than the other, and no flavor overrules or outshines the other. Instead, need one another. And when they unite and the recipe is complete, although there is quite a bit of diversity in one pot, the end result is absolutely divine. Before today, I didn't give much thought to jambalaya. Admittedly, it is not one of my favorite dishes, but it made me think about the recipe's ingredients for this great American melting pot and how it is a recipe for disaster because for as long as the pot has been simmering, the ingredients have not figured out how to blend and make a perfect pot. Instead, all of the ingredients have this unattainable notion of existing in the same space but not having any cohesiveness. Each ingredient has its own agenda or issues and wants to overshadow, outshine, and dumb down the other. Someone thought that it would be a good idea to add extra ingredients to the pot that do not need to belong, such as racism, classism, stereotypes, jealousy, insensitivity, greed, and a lack of a God base. The extra ingredients have taken over the pot and messed it up because it has overpowered the true recipe and left a bitter taste in the mouths of those that keep testing it, hoping for a better result. Isn't it interesting that the ingredients in a pot of jambalaya are not human, do not have brains or a pulse, but are smart enough to know to blend perfectly? Sadly, human beings in all of these years that we have coexisted with one another cannot seem to figure that out. We can't seem to wrap our heads around the fact that it is our different flavors that makes the recipe great. Instead, we choose and in some cases are forced to stand alone, one-dimensional and uncomplimentary to every other ingredient. To make matters worse, the disaster of a recipe has been on a low simmer for a long time, but now the heat has been turned up on high, and the pot and all of its ingredients will surely burn unless somebody finds the courage to approach the pot, turn down the heat, and revise this recipe immediately. The ingredients need to find commonality, omit the extra additives, and figure out that when all of the flavors come together without the extras, the end result is delectable. Is it possible? Has the pot been overcooked? Have the extra additives ruined the recipe forever? Well, there is one way to find out. Sit down and talk it over with a bowl of jambalaya because there is so much to be learned from it.
Wow, that is very interesting. The way you, I never would have thought of it like that, but I'm sure that a lot of the listeners never thought of that either. But I thank you for bringing that to our attention, and that is so important, and it's so true. But we thank God for you because what you bring to the table for this worldwide ministry platform whether stories or poetry, it's all, they're all eye openers, and they make us think, and they make us wonder, and then also make us think. And then we want to also, we really appreciate you, because there's not too many poets in the world today that can break down poetry and tell different unique stories the way you do them. And so I'm so grateful that God allowed our pathways to cross, and that now you are part of this ministry platform. So I just thank God for you, for this that awesome story you just shared with us, talking about that jambalaya and the recipe for disaster. Wow. Now, that's something really to think about. And that goes for me as well, even though I'm the host. That goes for me as well as every listener. Think about what you just said with this reading, this story. And if you miss any of it, or if you want to share her stories with others, you can always go give them my show website, and they can pull up tonight's platform, because this is a worldwide ministry, and all of my shows are kept in archives, so you can pull up anyone and listen to them and be blessed and inspired all over again. And that's why I love it, this ministry platform, because you can share it with other people so that they can be blessed and inspired as well. We're going to go to a short music break, then we're going to come back, and I'm going to get into this book, Don't Skip the Process, and it's another book that I'm going to kind of coincide these two together. So you definitely need your Bibles, your pens and paper, because I'm going to be adding some scriptures to these out of these two books. And then we're going to come back following that message, and then we're going to have our guest on tonight. She's going to do her second story following this message on tonight. But first, we're going to go to our music break. And because the world situation that we are living in, the Word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we know that that is so true today, even today in today's time, because we see that time is truly winding up. These are the end times. So we need to be praying and encouraging one another in God. Pray once again on tonight. Pray for me. I want the words. That's a music thing of it. I want the actual singing. Here we go.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray for me. We
Yes, 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 yes. These are the times that's try men's souls. Yes, so we ought to be praying one for another. And guess what? If you are born again or you are connected with a church, I want you all to know, and if you all don't already know, we need to be praying for our pastors. We need to be praying for our government, our world leaders. The Bible tells us that we ought to be also praying for our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem and Israel. Pray for the peace and the prosperity of Jerusalem and Israel. So prayer is always in order. So that's why I played that song on tonight as the music break song, and I pray that you was blessed by that song, Pray for Me. Well, as I said, we're going to go to a short word. I don't have a scheduled guest on tonight, so I'm going to be bringing this short word on tonight. And I pray you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. This first part of this message that I'm going to be talking about is don't skip the process. Making life's challenges work for you. And this is a book title that's written by my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown. So in his book, he's talking about finding purpose in the process. And he talks about everything seems to be rush. Move in today's society. Everyone appears hardwired to move at a fast pace regardless of the work to be completed. And that is so true. People, every now and then you find people that want everything like right now. They want everything instant. They don't want to go through the process of going through whatever you need to go through to get to the final results that's going to give God glory. So we, as Christians, we need to be not conformed to this world, even though we are in the world and we are part of the world. The Word of God says we are in the world, but we are not to be like the world. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we just can't be like the world when they want everything like right now. Some things takes a process. It's, you have to go through a process to get to the end result of something pertaining to life. And that goes for Christians as well as those that are not Christians. So life itself is a process, whether you know it or not. Life is a process within itself. We all have different stages, beginning with conception, from where husband and wife, man and woman come together, and a child is conceived, and then the woman is give birth to this child, bring this baby into the world. That's a process, and that baby just didn't so happen to be just get there. There's a process for that too. So everything in life is a process. So we have to. It is all about timing, and especially some things in life is all about God's timing. As Christians, some of us don't even want to take the chance or take the time to trust the process of God's timing. And so that's something that we need to be praying about. If you are one of those, I'm not pointing out anyone. I'm just making a statement and making a fact, because sometimes we all get weak in the faith and we want things like right now, right away, and we don't want to go through the process of God's timing. And sometimes we can, if we get things too fast and we don't get it the right way, then we'll think that, you know, we did this on our own. And we don't realize that it was all because of the process of God and us waiting on God to deliver and to come through for us in the natural. Then when we are as Christians and we know that it was God that did it, then we're going to turn around and guess what we're going to do? We're going to give God the glory. Because his word says he is a jealous God. And he said we should put no one before him, no one or nothing to ever come before God. So that's a part of God's word that tells us that when he do something for us, and I think one of the things that I don't really care too much to hear, a lot of people go around saying, you know, it was luck. This happened to me by luck. No, if God had anything to do with it, and you know God did it, it was not luck, it was God. Give God the glory. Don't steal his glory. He said he will share his glory with no one. So, again, life in itself is a process, and you cannot skip it. From birth to death, you cannot skip the different processes that pertains in this life. So a part of this book, he talks about don't skip the process, and it's one of the chapters is titled, Is the Church in You? Well, I want to rephrase that. If we are born again in Jesus Christ, and we know that he is the truth foundation of the church as believers in Jesus Christ, we too are the church. And that's why we have to be very careful about how we carry ourselves, about who we hang out with, by the things that come out of our mouth, whether we are at home, in our neighborhoods, on a job, in the community, wherever you are. We have to remember that we are in Christ Jesus. So we are the church. And believe it or not, people that are not saved in Jesus' name, believe it, they know if you, when you say that you are saved in Jesus' name, and you're supposed to be in the body of Christ, and you're supposed to represent Jesus Christ and God, and you are the church. That's why it's so important that we be very careful about who we hang out with. Again, what we say, what we do, what we watch, what we hear, let in our ear gates. And you know what? A lot of people don't understand this, but that's a process as well. And you have to be truly in the Word of God, and you have to know God's Word in order to get through these different processes of what we call life. Life, again, is a process. Success depends on putting the right people in the right positions to obtain positive results. As you know, employees' selections and training is a critical part of this type of process when you are hiring people. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, chapter 5, verse 22, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we are Christians and when we're not purposely trying to skip the process of God, when we are constantly working with people from all walks of life, saved and unsaved, on a regular basis, we, even as Christians, we will see the good, the bad, and the ugly, depending on what situation arises. And we're not talking about people's personal appearance. We're talking about people's behaviors, the way they think, what comes out of their mouth, how they judge people, not according to God's word, but by what they see. They just automatically start judging people. Now, so if you're going to judge someone, make sure you're doing it according to God's word and not out of your feelings. So that's a part of the, that's a process as well. So all of these different things that we are experiencing as Christians, it's a process. Then in his book, he talks about, again, making challenges, life challenges work for you. Ready or not, here I come. So and I can attest to this because me being the older brother, and he was the youngest brother out of four boys in our family, out of nine siblings. He says in his book, and I can remember this, he says, growing, and some of you may be able to relate to this as well, says, growing up as children, we had many games to play which kept us occupied. Though our family was very poor, it wasn't until we were well into our teens and nearly grown that we figured it out. For with our God-fearing mother, thank God for her, it was a well-kept secret within herself. Our mother made sure there was never a dull moment in the household. There was always something to do. And that is a fact. And you all may have the same type of, or if your mother is still living, and if she was born again in Christ Jesus, you all may have experienced the same thing. If you had a woman of God, a mother that was a virtuous woman of God, such as our mother, then your mother, she also made sure that every neighborhood that you all ever lived in had a school playground or some kind of recreation nearby. So she was always looking out for her family, even in that area, that we can not only be a family as inside the house, but we can do things together outside of the home. Believe it or not, that's a process as well. A lot of people don't think that's a process, but it is, because a lot of parents, they don't take time out to consider their children, you know, outside of the home. What are they doing outside of this house? Who are they hanging out with? What are they doing when they're not around us, when they're not in our presence? So whatever you do, even as a parent, don't skip the process. Don't skip the process of getting your children to come to know Jesus. Get your children involved in church. That's what our mother did, even as babies. She took us to church. She didn't send us. She took us because she was involved in church herself. So we as children of God, we as people of God, we cannot go around trying to skip life's process like some people that are in the world that are not of God. In his book, he says in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, again, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously and of free will and out of love. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Then he also goes on to, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, says each one of us should use whatever gift we have received from God to serve others. And that's a process as well. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks with the very words of God. Now, I'm going to go out of that book, and I'm going to go to something else that's really talking about the same thing. But as Christians, also, we don't want to skip the process. In the body of Christ, when we are connected to a church, when we have given our hearts and our lives over to Jesus Christ, and we get involved, become a member of a church, and we have sisters and brothers in Christ that are also a part of that ministry, those different ministries. Now we are getting ready to talk about praise leaders and Christian musicians that are a part of the different churches. These are gifts given by God as well. Not only those gifts, but we have so many other gifts in the body of Christ. You may be in your church. You may be an usher. You may be on the kitchen committee. You may be a greeter. You may be on the mother's board. You may be a armor bearer. You may be a deacon or a trustee. Whatever your position is in the body of Christ, in the church, in the local church, where you are a member, even praise leaders. Again, all of these are gifts given by God. And we all have a purpose in life, whether you know it or not. And it's sad to say, but there are a lot of people that are born again in Jesus Christ, and they still don't know what their God purpose is. And as I always say to the listeners, and I say it to other people as well, because I'm going to say this, I, as a musician myself, one Sunday evening I was getting ready to play. I played for Senior Citizens. I played for this one church for 19 years. After I would attend church service at my own church first, and then I would go to the afternoon service, I was a pastor's armor bearer and also the musician for 19 years for this one church, for the Senior Citizens. And I really, truly loved everything that I did for them. And it was all because I love God and I love God's people. But as I was getting ready preparing for the evening service at this one local church, one of the seniors out of nowhere, she came in, and she was sitting there while I was getting the hymn books ready, and I had got on the organ, and I was playing. And I turned around and looked at her before all the members started coming in, and I walked past her, and she said, "Baby," I think she must be about 85. She said, "Baby, I don't even know why I'm here." I asked her, I said, "What do you mean? You don't know why you're here." She said, "I don't know what my purpose is in life." I was stunned. I was like, "What?" I'm saying to myself, "What?" And so what I told her, like I tell a lot of people, and it's true, the word of God says we have not because we ask not. And if you are saved in Jesus' name, believe it or not, God has a purpose for you that only you can fulfill in the earth that's going to give God glory. So what I told her, I said, "You know what? You're still living. You're still breathing. It don't matter what your age is. All you have to do, there's a song that says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles." But I told her, it's not too late. God should have a purpose for your life. All you have to do is be sincere when you open your mouth, ask God to show you what his purpose is for you in this life. And she looked at me and she said, "Wow, I never thought of it that way." So that being said, yes, we all have a purpose. And it's a part of God's process. And we don't want to miss out on fulfilling the processes that God wants us to walk through to get to where he wants us to be. That's going to give him even more glory in this life and even in the life to come after we have called us home to glory, to spend eternally with him and his son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. So we don't want to skip the process of knowing what our God purpose is. It's important. It is important that you know what it is. It's important to God. He wants you to know what your God purpose is. And like I said earlier, you cannot fulfill my God purpose. I cannot fulfill yours. It's an individual thing, and it's personal. So that's why you have to know what your God purpose is. You don't want to go through life skipping God's process for your life, whereby you will be giving him some glory out of your life. So when we stand before God in the day of judgment, don't you want to hear him say to you, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? You didn't skip the process of life while you was in the earth. You did not skip the process. You went through the process and you fulfilled your God purpose. And then he will say to you, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So don't skip the process that God has ordained. And don't skip the process of talking about spiritual things like prayer. He said, don't forget to get together when it's time to go to church on Sunday or whatever day you go to church to be with your sisters and brothers in Christ. Assemble yourself together in the house of God to give God glory, honor, and praise, and to worship him together, collectively, individually, and then as a corporate body of believers that's on one accord, giving God glory, honor, and praise. That's a process as well. Some people don't believe it, but it is. That's a process too. So, again, you, my sister, you, my brother, I'm not going to belabor time any further. I just wanted to share something with you all because I did not have a scheduled guest on tonight to deliver God's word, so I thought I would use this myself. Something through God's word that was beneficial to you all, that open up your mind and make you think and realize that life itself is a process. And so that being said, we're going to get ready to go back to our guest on tonight, Sister Robin Robertson. She's getting ready to come back to us, and she's going to share with us her second story. Sister Robertson, did I say that right, Robertson? If you don't mind, if you can share with us your second story, please.
No, it's Robertson, Brother James.
Robertson, I keep getting it wrong every time. I apologize.
Yeah, it's like Robert and Son, yes.
Right. Okay. I got you. Okay.
But I want to thank you for that word. You know, because a lot of people avoid the process. They want to just get to the end result. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes,
exactly,
if God has a plan for your life, He's going to make you recognize that there is a process, and he will stay on you until you do what it is that he has for you to do. You know, so this next
Amen.
Story is about this next story is about a person who was kind of trying to avoid the process, and it's entitled Call the Manufacturer. Through a night of heavy partying, he fell into a deep sleep. When awakened, he found himself in a computer repair shop. The attendant said, "Well, you finally made it. You've been scheduled for a system check for quite some time. I am glad you came because your system is just about ready to crash and burn." Confused, he said, "I am not sure what you're talking about because I have not scheduled a system check." The attendant responded, "I know it was scheduled for you. Have a seat and let me get started. This could take some time because I have to check your entire system." The attendant began checking his hard drive, and after several moments, he said, "Oh, my, this is more complicated than I thought. It seems that your system is plagued with several viruses. Some are a result of not shutting down properly. Hard shutdowns can be the death of your system because you are not closing out of other programs. And even though you press the off button, many of the programs are still running and are not allowing your system to rest properly. The other viruses are attached to downloads. I tell people all the time, you have to be careful of the information that you take in. It appears that in your case, you ignore the antivirus scans that appear because you took in so much outside information. Well, my friend, as a result, this particular virus has spread to all of your software programs, and they are all affected in some way as well." Very confused and now a bit agitated, the man said, "How do you know all of this when I have not brought my system in with me? You are not even looking at my computer." The attendant replied, "I have a direct connection to any system that needs repair. It does not have to be in front of me for me to know what is going on. The moment that someone calls me, I become connected. All systems are connected in some way, and well, let's just say that I have the arduous task of ensuring that they run properly." Well, you don't keep up with millions of, how do you keep up with millions of systems all over the world? That is impossible, he retorted. Nothing is impossible, especially if you are in love with what you do. As unbelievable as it may sound, I love each and every system there is, and nothing is more important to me than to make sure that they run smoothly and without any of these nasty viruses that you've encountered. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, the next problem that you have is pop-ups. Now, this one was real easy and could have been avoided. All you needed to do was turn on your pop-up blocker. It's like armor for your system and blocks out those unexpected things that show up out of nowhere to slow and sometimes stagnate the system's operations. Based on the amount of pop-ups in your history, I would say that you never took the time to do that. I am going to run a full virus scan now. This should clear up the problem, the attendant said. He was not happy with the attendant's implication that he had neglected to properly care for his system, although it was true. He avoided any conversation that suggested that he was the cause of his system failure. He sat there visibly frustrated, waiting anxiously to find out if the virus scan would work. Moreover, he wanted to know how he had gotten there and how this all the information about his system without it being there. The attendant looked at him sorrowfully and said, "This virus scan did not work. Your problem appears to be malware, which is potentially the most stubborn virus of them all. Because it is so deeply intertwined with your system and its programs, you have to go back to the original manufacturer settings in order to get rid of it. You have to clean all the old information out and reload it now that you know how to protect it from viruses. In order to complete this cleansing process, you must call the manufacturer." What? So you mean to tell me that I have to erase all my information and clear out my entire system? Some of this stuff is stored that is stored cannot be recovered once it's erased. This is not good, not good at all, he said. The attendant said, perhaps those things that you cannot recover don't need to be recovered. Because it is those things that are preventing your system from running properly. Sometimes it is necessary to let things go and to realize that what may appear as harmless is the very thing that is most harmful to you. So how much is all of this going to cost? Because I can't afford to pay a fortune for this. The attendant smiled. The good news is that your bill has already been paid in advance. All you have to do is call the manufacturer, and your system will be repaired as good as new. The manufacturer looks forward to handling these types of problems. Just call him up and tell him what you need. So let me get this straight. I come here. I'm not really sure how I got here. You tell me that the appointment was made for me. You find all these viruses and malware and pop-ups in my system without my system actually being here. And now you tell me that I can get it fixed for free and all I have to do is call the manufacturer, he challenged. The attendant replied, yes, that is exactly what I said. This has always been the problem with you, your inability to simply believe that I am looking at the system. You are the system, and your sin is the virus. The downloads are those things that you accept into your life that are outside of my will for you. The pop-ups are the tricks that Satan throws at you unexpectedly in your path to distract you. This usually happens every time you think about seeking me. Your pop-up blockers are prayer, faith, and the word. Once armored with these things, no weapon formed can prosper. Lastly, the software programs that are infected are your loved ones because depend on you for guidance and direction. Much like the hard drive directs the path of the software on a computer, if the hard drive is not functioning properly, then none of the programs that depend on it for guidance can function properly either. The wrongdoings of your past and your inability to forgive yourself prevent you from being able to reach out to them in the way that you should. And as a result, a very important piece of the puzzle that completes their lives is also missing. I use the computer system metaphorically to make a point that when your soul becomes infected with sin, I cannot dwell there. In my absence, chaos, confusion, and improper operations abound. Your appointment with me was made through the prayers of those that love you and have never stopped interceding on your behalf. They asked me to stop by and pay you a visit. I have waited for you to give me your attention, but sin has had you bound for so long that it seems that you have forgotten about me. Yet I love you so much that I could never forget about you. In me, the old has passed away, and you become a new creature. All you have to do is knock, and the door will open. Ask, and you shall receive. My son paid the price for your system repair. This is the promise to all my children, and it is extended to you. Call on me, my child. You need a reboot. He jumped up from his sleep, completely sober, sat straight up in the bed and yelled, reboot me, Lord. And in that instance, his system was restored. Call the manufacturer. Brother Jay. Oh, my Lord. What happened? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Robin?
Yes,
Sister Robin, we don't know what happened to Brother James, but I just want to let you know that was a beautiful story.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Call the manufacturer. That was them on time, and that was so true. Because our people don't know that. We just got to check in with Jesus, and he'll fix it for us.
That's right. Call the manufacturer. He will definitely
reboot
you.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
I don't know.
Maybe Brother Brown's sister might have went out or something.
Maybe so. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. That was great.
I am here, Sister Graham. Listen.
Oh, okay.
I thank you so much, Sister Graham, for that. Someone, if you're not speaking on the line right now, could you please mute your phone? If you're not speaking on the line right now, could you please mute your phone? So that we can hear those that are talking, so we can hear them clearly. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The phone line is open. Mr. Graham Walker, again, we thank you. You always give my guests powerful words of encouragement for this. We're grateful for you for always tuning in to be a blessing to my listeners. Anyone else? The phone line is still open. Anyone else?
Brother James, you might have to mute it.
I'm trying to find out which one it is. Okay, go ahead. Anyone else? The phone line is still open. Praise the Lord. If you were blessed by my guest on tonight, please let us know. The phone lines are open. Hello.
How do you feel about
that? Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I've never heard that like that before, but to God be the glory. I was definitely inspired by it, you know, and had to wait to the end to get everything, you know. But it was a blessing to hear her, you know, build that thing up.
Well, yeah,
amen, because it's so true, you know.
Anyway.
And I also want to thank God for you for being obedient and letting the Lord use you, bro. It's just sit there and teach God's word. So God bless you and your guests.
It was 100%. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Norman King.
Amen.
That's Pastor Norman King. My first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina. Sister Robin, that was my first cousin from Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, speaking to you just now. Hello, in the background, someone is talking in the background. Could you please mute your phones?
He wasn't supposed to, though.
If you're not speaking live on the air, please mute your phones. I'm going to have to go ahead and mute all these different things.
I'm talking about
it. Right. Okay. Because I don't know exactly which one it is. I'm going to have to mute a lot of different phone numbers because I don't know which one it is. I think I got it. Okay. Anyway, the phone lines are open for anyone else. If you was blessed by my guest on tonight, that's the one. Hold on a second. Let me find out who that is. I can mute them real quick. Okay, that may be the one. Okay, praise the Lord. The phone lines are still open. If you was blessed by my guest on tonight, please let us know. The phone lines are open. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Well, as always, we do have a lot of people that dials in, and we thank God for everyone that takes the time out of their busy schedule to dial in and be blessed by this ministry platform. But a lot of people do not, you know, they'd rather not say anything, but we still thank God for you anyway. And we want to ask you all to continue to tune into this worldwide ministry platform and to continue to be blessed by God's word through the guests. You want to please tune in this coming Saturday night. You all just heard my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, speaking to my guests on tonight. He is the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night. So you want to tune in this coming Saturday night to hear Pastor Norman King as to what God has given to him to share with his people over this worldwide platform on this coming Saturday night. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. If you care to give my guests any words of encouragement. Praise the Lord. Before we close the line up. Well, Sister Robin, I ain't gonna mess up your last name. Listen, I just want to say, and I'm very serious about this. I am so grateful how God connected you and I together. And it's amazing to me how the very first day that you was on this platform, it's the same day that my other guest, Deacon Marvin Cox, who always shared a powerful word from the Lord. He was one of those that suffered from muscular dystrophy. And he crawled around on the floor. And he did not let that stop him from being a doer of God's word. But he always shared inspirational poems with the listeners first. And he was one of my regular guests on this platform for over 5 years. And so everybody got to know him, even though they never met him personally. But it's amazing to me how it worked out. The same day that he made his heavenly transition was the first day on this platform. So I thank God for that. That was set up by God. And I thank God for that. I don't take that lightly or for granted. So I look forward to you being on this platform at least once a month, sharing your stories and your inspirational poems. I just love it. And I know that the listeners are being blessed by you as well. So your labor
right.
is not
I hope that everyone would. I hope that everyone was blessed by the story, and I don't take this lightly at all. I do appreciate you having me on your show once a month, and I will definitely be here next month when it is my time. I look forward to it. I'll be praying for everyone, and I ask that you all extend your prayers to me and my family as well.
We will definitely be doing that. We thank you so much. You are a blessing to this worldwide platform, and again, I love it because even though a lot of prisoners in America are incarcerated behind prison bars, they are truly being blessed by this worldwide platform as well. So they are being blessed by your poetry and your stories as well. So we want you to know that your labor is not in vain. God is truly pleased with you.
Well, God bless you.
So
I appreciate that.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're going to close off for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through, you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You are our everything, and without you, we can't do nothing. But we know that with you, we know that all things are possible. So we thank you for being a faithful promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. So continue to bless this worldwide ministry platform, that it will continue to grow, that it will continue to be a blessing to the listeners, that most of all and through it all, that you will continue to be glorified through it. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again,
amen.
I love you. Know what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.